It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, the show that's so nice. We do it twice. Ross Tucker, Evan Silva with you. We already did all of the 1 p.m. Eastern Time games. That's the podcast that always posts on Wednesday. And then shortly after midnight Eastern Time on Thursday, we post the other one for you with all the late games, the Sunday Nighter, the Monday Nighter, so that you can all set your lineups plenty of time before the Thursday night game. He's at Evan Silva on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, Twitter and Instagram. Or if you're a Facebook person, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Yes, I am still giving out free Maddens. And yes, I will have the phrase that pays in a little bit. Right now, though, I need to tell you that we're presented by betonline.ag. Of course, make sure that's where you go and use the code podcast1. If and when you need to place bets on anything, and I mean anything. Speaking of that, you also should check out a new show, which is very, very cool. It's from the CW, and it's called The All-American. All right, so some of you guys might have missed the debut, and if you did, you missed out. It's the CW's incredible new series, All American. Inspired by local football hero Spencer Paysinger. That name should sound familiar to some of you guys. Played linebacker in the league for a while. Good athlete. Long arms. Good in space. Good on special teams. Got drafted by the Giants. Anyway, he's a high school football phenom from South Central. Gets recruited to play in Beverly Hills. Tay Diggs is his coach. And Tay Diggs plays Billy Baker, a former star player in his own right, who sees himself in Spencer and needs to win to keep his job as the coach. He promises Spencer the chance to someday go pro and give his family a better life. This is a good show for you guys to pick up during the fall. Don't miss the incredible new series, All American, Wednesdays only on the CW and CW app. All right, Evan, you ready to rock and roll?
Let's roll.
L.A. Rams at the Denver Broncos. Wow. Can you imagine what it's like for the Rams to look at the video of Crowell and Robbie Anderson making the Broncos look pathetic on Sunday? It's, you know, I think we need to talk about that a little bit more. This is not the Broncos defense that it used to be.
No, man. Not even close. I mean, it's, I think you could get to the extent and say it's not a good defense. I think that you could say that. They have a couple of good players, you know, no question. But a good defense does not a couple of good players make. And their outside cornerbacks are a problem. Bradley Roby is not the guy that they anticipated. And the other guys can't stay healthy. Tremaine Brock and Pac-Man Jones. Pac-Man Jones got hurt again last week. Those guys are old journeymen at this point, and they really shouldn't be relying on them in the first place. But, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen here with Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks, because they both had concussions. Dr. Chow thinks that Brandon Cooks is pretty much not going to play. I think, I don't want to speak for him, but I think that that's what he was saying. And Brandon Cooks had a concussion in the playoffs last year. So these are kind of close together, relatively speaking. And my guess is that they're not, that he won't play at Denver. So, you know, the guys that we're looking at are Josh Reynolds as a sleeper. He will be on the outside. He reminded me of the old Bengals receiver, Chris Henry, coming out of Texas A&M. Really long dude, can pluck the ball. Kind of deceptive speed, you know, ran like in the low 4.5s coming out, but like just has the ability, has like a long strider. And I think that he can win against these Broncos receivers. So he's going to be a DFS sleeper and a guy that maybe you could pick up off the bench, sort of like Marquez Valdez-Scantling was last week. I don't know how exactly it's going to work out in terms of, you know, if Cooper Kupp is out, who's playing the slot. It could be Robert Woods. Robert Woods could move into the slot, or they could use Gerald Everett in the slot, although he's played only four snaps in the slot this year, or he's only ran four routes in the slot. So I'm not sure. That stuff we're going to have to wait to monitor, you know, and take into account as the injury report comes out. Broncos played good run defense in the first three games and then just got slaughtered by Isaiah Crowell. They gave up 99 yards rushing to Bilal Powell, too. Week before that, Kareem Hunt had his best rushing day against the Broncos. So, you know, no fear in terms of matchup for Todd Gurley, who each week is the number one overall fantasy running back play. I kind of want to, you know, Case Keenum has been really, really bad. I mean, his stats actually last week wound up being good just because of the flow of the game. Demaryius Thomas, they hit a long 42-yard touchdown to him in, like, garbage time, like deep garbage time. I kind of think he's an interesting DFS tournament play, though, this week. You know, everyone has kind of ruled out the Broncos, including myself, you know, but he's had a couple of big games, and this Rams defense, you know, you want to talk about a defense that has been pretty disappointing. The Rams defense has been pretty disappointing, too. Marcus Peters has given up the most touchdown passes of any cornerback in the league this year. Aqib Talib still out. They have generated a lot of pressure, like as charted by Pro Football Focus, but they're not getting hits and sacks on the quarterback. And their run defense is not good, but we already knew that that was going to be the case. So I kind of think that Case Keenum is interesting as a DFS play, as a desperate streamer. I mean, they are in very desperate position right now. You know, that was a bad spot for them, too, last week. Like, coming off that short week, going on the road all the way across the country for a 1 p.m. Eastern time game. Now they're coming back home. It would not surprise me if we see the Broncos show up better this week. I mean, and they're going to have to score because the Rams score. Royce Freeman is barely even usable right now, you know, based on his usage because he's got single-digit touches in three of the last four. Phillip Lindsay is the lead back. But those guys do have a good matchup. And if the Broncos do show up here, those guys will really stand to benefit. Devontae Booker wound up playing more than usual last week, about 30-35% of the snaps, saw six targets. But that was due to the nature of the game because they were chasing and they use him in passing situations. But I, you know, not a whole lot of fear in starting Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders. Keep an eye on Cortland Sutton, who hobbled off the field last week in the second half, and I'm not sure if he returned, but he hobbled off the field in a lot of pain, and he got five end zone targets last week. So if he doesn't show up on the injury report, I think that he is a sleeper in this potential shootout. Also, Jeff Heuerman, don't like him as much as C.J. Uzoma or Cameron Brayton. We talked about it on the first podcast, but he is not a terrible streamer in this game. Rams have not been great against tight ends, and he's out there a lot. We can move on to the next one.
Jacksonville at the Dallas Cowboys. What do you got?
Yeah, so Zeke Elliott just got stoned last week by the Texans. And, you know, that goes to show how good the Texans are in run defense. Jaguars, really good in run defense, too, have held opponents to 3.6 yards per carry, 10th fewest receptions. But so, you know, what we're hanging our hat on here is, first of all, Zeke Elliott going back home, you know, where teams tend to perform better, and Zeke Elliott getting monster usage. He's got 19 or more touches in every game so far this year, in the last month. And He set a career high in receiving yards in week four, 88. Last week he set another career high in catches with 7. So that expanded passing game usage is really good for him from a floor and ceiling standpoint. Dak Prescott has been awful in fantasy and in real life. Quarterback 18 or worse in every game so far this year. It's crazy to think that he was legit the number one overall fantasy quarterback from weeks 1 through 8 last year. And ever since then, just the bottom has fallen out. And, you know, can't use him against the Jags, obviously. Can't use anyone in the Cowboys passing game against the Jags. Can use the Cowboys defense, though. I'd like to see them get David Irving back this week. He did not play in his first game eligible last week due to a personal matter. He's a difference maker on the interior. Cowboys, you know, with their offensive line kind of being up and down, the passing game just awful, and no Sean Lee up front, I think their strength is their pass defense. Byron Jones has been incredible. Byron Jones, until last week, had never had a defensive pass interference penalty called against him. And DeAndre Hopkins drew the first defensive pass interference flag of Byron Jones' career against him. That was I thought that was pretty impressive for Byron Jones. Byron Jones is Pro Football Focus's number one overall rated cornerback through 5 weeks of play. Blake Bortles threw 4 picks last week. You know, he moved the ball, though. It was a very weird up-and-down performance, kind of reflective of Blake Bortles in general, threw 2 embarrassing picks. But he winds up with 61 attempts, 4 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown, and he winds up as a top-5 fantasy quarterback on the week. I don't think that we're going to see that volume out of him this week. I'm a little worried about the left tackle, Josh Wells, due to a groin injury. They already lost their starting left tackle, Cam Robinson, to an ACL. Only one of the quarterbacks to have faced the Cowboys so far this year finished as a top 12 quarterback on the week. So I'm not in love with Blake Bortles this week as a streamer. Jaguars desperate at running back, man. The rumors now are that Leonard Fournette is not going to, he might be out until week 10. Corey Grant on IR with Liz Frank. TJ Yeldon is going to get 1 million touches. He played 93% of the snaps last week, 21 and 18 touches the past 2 weeks, had 8 catches in week 5. Again, Cowboys still missing Sean Lee. High end RB2, TJ Yeldon. So desperate at running back, they signed Jamal Charles off the street. Wide receivers, you know, it's really tough on a week-to-week basis to try to forecast these guys. I mean, we got Dante Moncrief, 37 targets through 5 games. Keelan Cole, 34. D.D. Westbrook, 33. T.J. Yeldon, 32. So you're kind of on your own. You know, from a matchup standpoint, I like D.D. Westbrook's matchup the best. I liked Moncrief's matchup the best last week, and he wound up leading the team in receiving yards, but I like Westbrook's the best. This week, you look at the receivers that have given the Cowboys problems. It's not big outside receivers. It is guys who play on the interior, smaller, quicker guys. That's D.D. Westbrook. You know, it was Golden Tate, Kiki QT had a nice game against them last week, and Tyler Lockett. In week 4 or whatever that was, week 3. I think that D.D. Westbrook has the best matchup. Austin Seferia-Jenkins out for the season, or at least on IR. Niles Paul and James O'Shaughnessy, good luck trying to differentiate between them. Not only have they drawn the exact same number of targets, 13, they have run the exact same number of pass routes, 67, through 5 weeks, and we can move on to the next one.
We've got the Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, ugly matchup for the Titans. This is a situation where they're coming off the letdown loss, and they're back home. But, man, this Ravens defense is just lights out. They've given up 14 points or fewer in 4 or 5 games. Only game where they didn't was that week 2 short week Thursday nighter. They've given up 6 touchdown passes in 5 games, and 4 of them were from Andy Dalton in that Thursday nighter. So, and they will just eliminate your offense. I mean, there's really nothing to see here with anybody. I mean, on the Titans offense, we could look at Corey Davis from a volume standpoint. He's still getting a lot of volume. But, you know, it's a really, really difficult matchup against Jimmy Smith and all those guys. So no good matchups here for the Titans. Jonnu Smith has been targeted 5 times by Marcus Mariota, 0 catches and a drop. They brought up Anthony Firkser, the Ivy League grad, and I would not be surprised if Anthony Firkser is out there catching passes in week 6. Ravens. Buck Allen lost a 3rd quarter fumble. You know, this team's had a lot of fumbles in the backfield. Alex Collins has been benched twice for fumbling. Buck Allen lost one in the 3rd quarter last week. He did wind up with 14 touches, season high 58% of the snaps, leads the Ravens in carries inside the 5. On Tuesday, John Harbaugh said that he wanted to play DeLance Turner more, give him more run. So that's a little bit concerning. But, you know, Buck Allen is like the best flex play in this backfield. Alex Collins broke a 19-yard run on the first play last week against the Browns. Then he had 40 scoreless yards the rest of the way on 11 carries. He had a drop, and he limped off the field in the second half. Came in battling a knee injury, not trying to use him against the Titans. The Titans are top 9 in the league in both sack rate and quarterback hit rate. So that's a concern for Joe Flacco. Titans have allowed the 5th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Joe Flacco, more of a 2 quarterback league guy this week. Michael Crabtree has 8 drops in 5 games. 3 drops last week against the Browns. He essentially cost them the game, dropped the would-be go-ahead touchdown. Sometimes these guys are good buybacks the next week. Sometimes they're not. I worry that he might start losing snaps to Chris Moore. John Brown had 14 targets last week, but Denzel Ward shut him down. He had 8 targets of 15 or more air yards, which is just absurd. He leads the NFL in air yards. This is the guy to buy as a bounce back this week. We want to get him matched up with Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler has given up the most yards in the NFL of any cornerback, 2nd most touchdowns behind Marcus Peters. So I'm sticking with John Smokey Brown through thick and thin. The Titans have been shutting down slot receivers with Logan Ryan. Do not want any part of Willie Snead. The guys who have hurt them outside receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Alshon Jeffrey, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills. That's right down John Brown's alley. Hayden Hurst makes his debut last week, and it's a 4-way tight end rotation. Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, and Max Williams all in there. Nobody over 50% of the snaps. Can't use them. We can move on to the next one.
All right, let's get to Sunday night. Chiefs in New England against the Patriots, who gave up 24 points to the T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle-less Indianapolis Colts. So do you foresee a lot of points in this one, Evan?
Yes, I do. And the total is 59 points, which I believe is the highest all year. So very excited. Justin Houston, Chiefs for me without Justin Houston, looks like for multiple weeks. Their second best pass rusher, D Ford, I think has overtaken him as their best pass rusher this year. but that's definitely a blow to a defense that is not particularly good, is not now going on the road to face a Bill Belichick team with, you know, the 3 extra days to prepare. Brady, all systems go. I mean, this offense is starting to hit its stride. Brady's all systems go. Gronk, you know, of course. When we can get the Patriots backfield narrowed down to a two-man committee, it's glorious. And James White and Sony Michel are every week fantasy starters, you know, no questions asked. The receiver core is interesting because Chris Hogan was still out there 91% of the time last week. Edelman 8 in the middle of the field, unsurprisingly. Josh Gordon was still below 30% of the snaps, but he has been very productive. He's made plays in the running game. He's catching touchdowns, you know, and he's going to be a high variance wide receiver 3/flex in an incredible matchup. He's playing 93% of his snaps outside. Chiefs are weakest at outside corner. Their slot corner, Kendall Fuller, is actually pretty good. So, you know, you know what you're getting into. You'd be playing Josh Gordon, a guy who is not playing a ton of snaps but has monster big playability in the highest projected scoring game of the season so far. You know, I'm going to try to fit him in where I can, no question. Philip Dorsett, his snaps were down last week, and you know it's going to be difficult to predict week to week in terms of the usage. I think the only really steady guy is going to be Julian Edelman. On the Chiefs side, you know, same sort of deal. Sammy Watkins came back last week. He was very productive in the game. Had more production than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill has these very weird home road splits that we always talk about, and you know he's on the road here. He is number one in Josh Hermsmeyer's buy low air yards model, and last week was Odell Beckham who went off. And so far, if we're talking about guys that have appeared just in Josh Hermsmeyer's air yards model. On the Millie Maker on DraftKings, in each of the 5 weeks, one of the wide receivers that showed up in the model was on the winning Millie Maker lineup on DraftKings. So that's pretty cool to know, and we're going to continue to mention that going forward. And Tyreek Hill, again, at the top this week. So play Tyreek Hill this week on the road. Sammy Watkins, again, back healthy, and he is a fine play against New England. Travis Kelce, you know, we saw what Ebron just had against the Patriots. So, and Kelce had a monster game even against the Jaguars. Jaguars have been shutting down tight ends until that point, 5 for 100. Kareem Hunt, you know, the Patriots have not been good in run defense, and Kareem Hunt is now strung together two pretty good games. Only had one target last week. That is always concerning. But Patriots have not been good in run D and the workloads. And now the touches are starting to follow. So that's good. And Pat Mahomes, you know the deal with Pat Mahomes. You just run him out every week. We can move on to the Monday Nighter.
Last one is the Monday Nighter, and it is the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have not written this game up yet, but it looks like Matt Breida is not going, or he's going to miss multiple weeks with an ankle. Alfred Morris comes squarely into play. He has not historically been a pass catcher, but they threw him targets last week, and that's good to see, you know. And Raheem Mostert, the running back, they give him a carry. He immediately loses the fumble. And he finished with like 9 yards on 6 touches. So this should be the Alfred Morris show against Green Bay, which has not been good in run defense so far. Garcon, you know, the matchup is fine, but just hasn't done enough. C.J. Beathard has been super productive in fantasy. And, you know, he's like a fun guy to start in 2 quarterback leagues. I still get wary of him as a streamer, but hey, you know, I've missed out on him too because of that. He can run, man. He's a good athlete. They have really done a good job of designing the offense. No surprise under Kyle Shanahan for C.J. Beathard to get the ball out quickly because he has this tendency to take these just thunderous hits. So they need to get the ball out of his hands quickly, or else he ain't going to make it through games. He's a really tough dude, but he's, you know, they need to get the ball out of his hands, and they have, and they've been very productive doing that. Offensively, their defense has been a pretty big problem. And I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers can really exploit that. I don't know what the deal is with Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison. So, you know, that Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to be fairly dependent on them. Equanimeous. So Jamon Moore played ahead of Equanimeous St. Brown in week four. Their roles shifted in week five. Equanimeous was out there. Moore. The Lions, like, sold out to stop Jimmy Graham, and they actually did this to Gronk earlier in the year. They used Deshaun Shedd, a big cornerback, against Jimmy Graham, and, like, in man coverage. And then there were a bunch of plays, like, in the red zone and obvious passing downs where they would have guys, like, beating up Jimmy Graham at the line of scrimmage. This is, you know, kind of textbook stuff that Bill Belichick used to do. That Matt Patricia is now bringing to Detroit. So kind of interesting to note. But that, you know, sort of explains why Jimmy Graham was not big last week. He also dropped a touchdown pass. But, you know, I'm still rolling him out there against San Francisco. I'm trying to think. I think the backfield. Yeah, so, hey, the Packers fell behind big. They were losing like 24-0 last week, so. You know, your backfield is not going to be productive in situations like that. Aaron Jones didn't get a second-half carry, but Packers had to throw the ball. And this will be a much better situation from a game script standpoint in all likelihood. And therefore, I think we can go back to Aaron Jones as a risky but still, you know, decent upside flex. But I don't think that they're going to turn away from Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams as factors. Because they do have roles in the offense. And, you know, look, again, we love to see guys, you know, the best guys play, but the coaches make their decisions, and we have to live with that. You know, we don't throw temper tantrums. So good luck to everyone this week.
I like it. I also like the fact that the word for the free Madden phrase that pays is daddy. The word is daddy. Evan is a daddy. I am a daddy. Brian is a daddy. The word is daddy. And that'll do it for the Week 6 Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Please give us the retweets. We love them. It means a lot. If it's Facebook, a like. That way we can spread the word about this bad boy. Other than that, I'm totally stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.